All right, so welcome for continuity of our Bhakti Shastri. Bhakti Vaibhav. We are starting our second chapter of the second canto. And here we have the title of the chapter, The Lord in the Heart. So what we have to do, meditating on the Purusha in the heart. So in this section, we have first section, that is first seven verses, 1 to 7. Sukhdev Goswami reject karma kand and glorifying the path of liberation. So this is the subject matter for this section of the seven verses which today we will cover. Sukhdev Goswami rejects karma kanda, which means elevation by Vedic rituals to heavenly planet maximum. But he glorifies the path of liberation. For that you can follow the jnana or yoga or bhakti, whatever ultimately he will tell. So this is the section. And the first verse is Sri Shuka Vacha. Evam pura dharanyatma yone nashtam smrti partyavarudhya tushtat tatha sasarjedam amoga drishti yatha payat praga vyavasaya buddhi. Any one word in this verse which actually strike you and you can remember something?
Vyavasaya atmika buddhi.
Yes, there is no atmika here, but there is a vyavasaya buddhi. That is most important. Vyavasaya buddhi and avyavasaya buddhi. Vyavasaya buddhi means single-pointed intelligence, and avyavasaya means multi-faceted intelligence. Normally, vyavasaya means business. So, business, one-pointed business and multi-branched business. So, Sukhdev Goswami said, previously Brahma, evam pura, pura means previously, dharanya atma yoni. Brahma means atma yoni. With fixed intelligence, vivasaya buddhi. Dharanya means concentrating or meditating. And pure vision, amogadrik. Mogha and amogha. This word mogha, you remember somewhere in our study of Bhakti Shastri? Mogha-sha, mogha-karmano, mogha-jnana, vichetsa, rakshasam, asurim, chaiva, yonim. This is our ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Mogha means all befelled. Amogha means pure. Amogha drishtihi, drishti, vision. After regaining his memory of creation, nashtan smrtihi pratyah avruddhya, by satisfying the Lord, tushtat, created this universe, tatha sasarja idam, as it was previous to the destruction, yatha prag apayat. Summary of this verse is there proof of someone who achieves success by meditating on the Virat form? Because yesterday we discussed the Virat Rupa. So if this question is asked, is anybody successful in his endeavor by meditating on the universal form? So what is the proof? Why not? There is a proof. Previously Brahmaji recreated universe by meditating on the Virat Purusha. So Brahmaji meditated on the universal form. That is the message of this verse. So before we go to the second verse, we will now see our Srila Prabhupada's person. What happened? Where am I? Hare Krishna. So, how can I connect with you again? You are here, okay.
Maybe you are seeing your screen, but it's looking a little weird. You have to reshare it.
I would like to. No, the other is I have to share the other screen that I am looking. How to find you? Where are you? I can see you, but it's not coming as usually in a full screen. The technical Baba.
If you take the cursor on the screen, you will see the green share button.
Oh, there I know, but I'm not. Now I got resume. Okay, resume share. It says okay. Okay, resume share. It's not responding, resume share.
Prabhuji, you may stop share first from the bottom.
Okay.
Yes, now you may share again.
Okay, I got it. Right. All right. Here we are. Okay, this is some other portion. So this is the verse we are at. This is the verse just we discussed, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now Srila Prabhupada's translation. Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, formerly, prior to the manifestation of cosmos, Lord Brahma, by meditating on the Virata Roop, regained his lost consciousness by appeasing the Lord. Thus he was able to rebuild the creation as it was before. So it's, the word here is before, prior to the manifestation of the cosmos. So generally Brahma, every night of the Brahma, there is an inhalation. And when Brahma wake up, he forget again, he has to pray. And after 100 years of the Brahma, when there is a Mahapralaya, the complete inhalation of the all manifested material world, then the new Brahma and new creation, again, he has to be instructed. So there's one word which is amogadrika, which as such is not in translation, right? So previously Brahma with fixed intelligence and a pure vision, amogadrika, after regaining his memory of creation by satisfying the Lord, created this universe as it was previous to the destruction. Now what is in the second chapter? The summary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. In the second chapter, the spiritual body of the Lord, practice of dharana. Dharana means the sixth limb of the Ashtanga Yoga. Dharana, dhyana, and then samadhi. By the perfect yogi, the two paths for merging into the Lord, for those who desire to give up their bodies. Dharana on visible material objects, which is like Virat Roop, which infer the presence of the Lord, like pantheism, and dharana on the Bhagavan as described. So this is what actually one chart we have already. The yogis with a desire and without desire. So one goes through the Virat Roop with a desire and the other goes on the super soul. And now what Brahma has achieved is not the final result of the yoga. The intermediate result of the yoga are here described. Gaining Pratyaya Avaruddhya, his last memory by satisfying the Supreme Lord Tushtat, Brahma again created universe, it was before destruction, Payat. He had fixed Vivasaya intelligence. I will create it by the inspiration of the Lord. This was his fixed intelligence. So this is the intermediate result of the yoga. It's not the perfection of the yoga or the final result of the yoga. Okay, so now we are going to Srila Prabhupada's purport. The example cited here in Sri Brahmaji is one of the forgetfulness. So Brahma forgot. It means in the night when he was sleeping, he forgot. In the day when he woke up, he forgot how he created previously. So Brahmaji is the incarnation of one of mundane attribute of the Lord. What it means? He's a guna avatar. Guna means a material world. Material means mundane. Being the incarnation of passion, mode of material nature, he is empowered by the Lord to generate the beautiful material manifestation. So he forgets. Yet due to his being one of the numerous living entities, he is one of the living entities. He is like a jiva tattva. His forgetfulness, he is apt to forget the art of the creative energy. This forgetfulness of the living being, beginning from Brahma down to the lowest insignificant ant, is a tendency which can be counteracted by meditation on the Virat Roop of the Lord. So what is the use of Virat Roop meditation? It says to regain the last memory, to counteract the forgetfulness which is a fault in a conditioned soul, inbuilt fault in a conditioned soul. So meditating on the Virat Roop of the Lord. This chance is available in human form of life, and if the human being follow instruction of Srimad Bhagavatam and begins to meditate upon the Virat Roop, then revival of his pure consciousness and counteraction of tendency to forget his eternal relationship with Lord can follow simultaneously. And as soon as this forgetfulness is removed, the Vivasaya Atmika Buddhi, as mentioned here and in the Bhagavad Gita. So, I think most of you memorize this verse. Can somebody recite this verse? Vivasaya Atmika Buddhi.
Buddhi Eke Kulunandana Vostaka Anandascha Buddhi Vivasayana.
Okay, very nice. Vivasaya Atmika Buddhi Eke Kulunandana Bahusaka Anandascha Buddhi Vivasayana. And Any most important significance of this verse?
This was the verse which motivated Srila Prabhupada when he was in the US and he was facing many problems, many challenges in setting up the Krishna Consciousness Movement. And then it was this verse, Vivasatmika Buddhir Ekah Kuru Nandana, that inspired him and motivated him to keep on carrying in spite of all the obstacles.
Very nice, more Shyam Krishna. Your Vivasaya Atmeka Buddhi as a commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on Bhagavad Gita, in which he said, having a firm conviction in the words of the spiritual master is Vivasaya Atmeka Buddhi. And Srila Prabhupada took it seriously to preach in a Western world. Actually, this verse with a commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is the motivation or impetus for establishing ISKCON. So this is the seed of the ISKCON. Prabhupada read this commentary and he was convinced that this is the only way I can accomplish the desire of my spiritual master. Okay, Bhagavad Gita follows at once. This ascertain knowledge of living being leads to the loving service to the Lord, which the living being requires. So ultimately, vivasaya atmika buddhi, one-pointed intelligence, leads to the goal of the life, and the goal of life is love of God. So a certain knowledge of the living beings lead, a certain knowledge of the living being leads to loving service, which the living being requires. The kingdom of the God is unlimited, therefore the number of assisting hands of the Lord is also unlimited. Now this is what Srila Prabhupada is speaking about, is like this is another aspect of Virat Roop. In Bhagavad Gita 11th chapter, when we discuss our Virat Roop, Krishna was thinking, first I will show to the Arjun my that universal form which is praised in Purusha Sukta. Anybody knows about Purusha Sukta? Because in this second chapter, we have one chapter, Purusha Sukta confirmed, where there are verses in this second canto of Bhagavatam which are exactly equivalent to the Purusha Sukta. So anybody can say, anybody understand what is Sukta?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dhanavad Pranam Prabhu.
Yes.
Sukta means it's like a formula. So, definition to make more understanding, yes, that means it's like this is Purusha Sukta, for example. They tell Sahasra, Sirushaha, Sahasra, Aksha. That means full. The formula, what they are giving means, they are giving a formula that how to understand God or what is God, what is Purusha. And they are giving in a concise, means in a small way they are giving.
Okay.
So this is what Purusha Sukta.
Shubha Gauranga, you chanted the first part of Purusha Sukta. Actually, Sukta is a group of the verses in the Vedas, the mantra, and the group of mantra is called Sukta, and then Sukta together makes Santa. So, a Ved has a four part in it, the Santa, Aranyaka, Brahmana and Upanishad. So each Veda has four divisions. So Sukta is in Sahintas. This is a group of mantra, and Purusha Sukta is a special prayer for the universal form of the Lord. Sahasra Purusha means having thousands of arm, head and all that. So this was actually the universal form. But in 11th chapter, then Krishna thought, when Arjun will be eligible and qualified, I will show him my form of time, Kala Rupa. Shubham, you are speaking something, your mic is mute, you are saying something? Oh, it's muted, your mic is muted, Shubham. Okay, go ahead now. No sound. Anyway, the point I am making is this Purusha Sukta is a prayer to the universal form. or Virata Rupa. And this word Purusha Sukta, anybody remember we have commonly heard?
In Krishna book we have read the prayers.
Yeah, Krishna offered. Book, when Brahma and all the demigods, they approach the milk ocean, Brahma and all demigods recited Purusha Sukta. Sahasrasrekaha Purusha Sahasrapada. And these, those who are really pandit learn, they have a special meter to sing this. And it's very relishing actually. So the point I am making is, Purusha Sukta, very similar verse in Bhagavad Gita 13-14. So find out this verse 13-14. This is also Sahasra Pada Sahasra Pani, something like that.
Sarvataha
Pani Padam Sarvataha Iksho Srito Mukham Sruta Mukham. Is it something like
yes.
that? Yeah, right?
Sarvataha Shruti Malloke Sarvam Mavritya Tishtati.
Okay, Sarvam Avrita Tishtati, covering everything and it's living there. This is universal form. Assert that Lord has his hands, legs, eyes. Hands means Pada, hands means Pani. Pani means hand. Legs, Pada, Iksha, eye, mouth, which is Anan or Vadan. Is a very, in every nook and corner of his creation. And but here very interesting is that, what is that? This means that the expansion of differentiated part and parcel means like jivas, called jiva, living entities, are assisting hands of the Supreme Lord. It means my hand, your hand, every living entity's hand is actually extension of the universal form. And all of them are meant for rendering a particular pattern of service to the Lord, according to the Varna Ashram in human society. The conditioned soul, even in the position of Brahma, forgets this. This means a particular pattern of service. By the influence of illusory material energy generated out of the false egos. So this is a false ego and material energy. That false ego make us forget our assigned service to the Supreme Lord. One can counteract such false egoism by invoking God consciousness. Liberating means getting out of the slumber of forgetfulness and becoming situated in real loving service of the Lord. As exemplified in the case of Brahma, the service of the Brahma is the sample of service in liberation, distinguished from the so-called altruistic service full of mistakes and forgetfulness. So, this few lines, what Srila Prabhupada says, liberation means getting out of the slumber of forgetfulness and becoming situated in real loving service of the Lord. This is the definition of liberation or mukti. And this definition is in this second canto. Anybody remember this definition? And this is the, you know, mukti is a one of the 10 subject matters, right?
2.10.1 in Patrasarga
Visarga. Yeah, but then go further, where is the mukti, where the definition is given. It is better everybody
should...
Yeah, right. That's what the one who is saying this verse is right. What is the first line?
Muktir hitva anyatha rupam.
Muktir hitva anyatha rupam swarupam vivasthitaha. So, hitva anyatha rupam is slumber of forgetfulness. The technically, which means anyatha rupam means false identification with the bodies. And becoming situated in real loving service means swarupe vivasthitaha, being situated in his original constitutional position. So this is actually the definition of liberation from this very second canto's 10th chapter. Which is this
what
verse?
What is the verse number, Prabhuji, in chapter 1?
It's not chapter, it's chapter 10. It must be in chapter 10. 2:10, verse number? Find out the one. Somebody quickly look in. It must be in the first 10 verses, I think. Somebody found it? Sorry?
2:10:6.
2:10:6. Well, that's very nice.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Nirodha asyano syanam atmanam sahas. Shakti bhi mukti hitva anyatha rupam swarupena vivastita. So first there's the explanation of Nirodha and then there's the explanation of the mukti. So there's the last item of the 10. So this, the second part of the verse number 6 is the definition of mukti. It is better everybody should keep it as a note because it is coming often time everywhere, a Vaishnava concept of liberation. Is it okay? So this is what Srila Prabhupada is writing, is liberation means this. Then, as exemplified in the case of Brahma, the service of Brahma is a sample of service and liberation. It means, he was in his own swarup. He was doing this service which was assigned to him by Supreme Lord. And comparing the service of the Brahma to so-called altruistic services full of mistake, the people in this material world, they are doing some service in the name of God, but they have many mistakes and forgetfulness of their relation with God or their own constitutional. Liberation is never inaction. This is the, it means liberation means acting in our own constitutional position. But service without human is never inaction. So it is action. But this action must be without human mistakes. So this service should be without human mistakes. It means this service actually starts at the level of Brahma Bhuta stage. Brahma Bhuta stage means stage of liberation from the designations. So we are going to the verse number 2. Shabdasya hi brahman esha pantha yananam bhi dhyayati dhi aparathai Pari Brahmamansa Tatra Navindate Arathan Maya Maya Vasanaya Shayanaha. This verse says, this is the path of Vedas. Shabdasya hi Brahman esha pantha. Shabdasya means Veda. Brahman esha pantha. Brahman is also Veda. In which the intelligence concentrate on various names. Yad naam bhi dhyayati dhihi. Intelligence, different names means different demigods. Which are useless. Apartha, they have no meaning because they only leads to temporary enjoyment in heaven. And then analogy is given. A sleeping person, shayanaha, desiring illusory happiness, maya maya, Vasanaya does not enjoy objects, na vindate arthan, as he wanders around in his dream. So in dream he is getting rasgulla, so he cannot relish it. So anybody who going to the heaven is not actually relishing anything. So the verse summary is, okay, liberation through Ashtanga Yoga is fine. But what about attaining swarg by practice of karma? Isn't that a worthy goal? The answer is no. The path of Vedas only promises temporary pleasure, which are just like enjoyment in dream. So this is the question answer in verse number 2. So Ashtanga Yoga gives a liberation. Why not we use the Vedas and do Karma Kanda to get our what is called a heaven, which almost all the major religions of the world are interested in heaven. So this verse answers no. Now Srila Prabhupada's translation. The way of presentation of Vedic sound, which means Shabda Brahma, is so bewildering that it directs the intelligence of people to meaningless things like heavenly kingdom. The conditioned soul, however, and dream of such heavenly illusory pleasure, but actually they do not relish any tangible happiness in such places. Such places means heaven. And this is what we have already read, Chakravarti Pad's translation. This path of Veda, in which the intelligence concentrated on various names means heaven, demigod, this, worship that, worship karmakand, which are useless. Now, commentary by Chakravarti Pad, what should, this is a question by Parikshit Maharaj, what should the dying person do? Mriyamanaya. In answer to this, some sages want to say, because there are many sages there, say, oh, do karma alone. With a sacrifice, we are going to swarga, heaven. This is approved by the Vedas. Proved, is it proved or approved by Vedas? Okay. This verse answers them. This is path of Veda made up of sound, in which the intelligence of the sadhak become engaged in names such as swarga. He thinks, I will attain happiness in swarga, but it is useless. Aparthaya. Generally, parthaya means a diet for a sick person. Aparthaya means a wrong diet. This is described. With a desire for happiness, the person in the dream wandering around does not enjoy objects. Though attain those planets, he does not get excellent happiness since it is perishable. Now, any some verse, at least from the Bhagavad Gita, you remember about this confusing statement of Veda, which bewildered the intelligence of a practice Vedic student. Any verse from Bhagavad Gita? Well, this is here. This is for different purpose. No, exactly. Pushpitam Vakyam, this is the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Three
so by the translation. The translation is that there are only those who are listened to it are attracted by the forward languages of the Vedas.
Yes.
So
Yam Yam Pushpitam Vacham Pravadante Avivishitaha Veda Vada Rataha Partha. This is the verse. And then this will continue for the Sthita Pragya. They will give up. They will give up following the karma kanda of the Vedas. Brahmati, Shabda Brahmati Vartate. They just go beyond that. And this is also in an unsuccessful yogi. when they come in a Brahminical or Astrocytic family or in a family of Acharyas, they give up all these karmakand completely. Is right? Is okay?
Baba, I have a question.
Yes.
See, these concepts were already been discussed in the 1.1.2 Dharma Projita Kaita Vatra. So in that, the Srimad Bhagavatam kicks out all this karma, jnana, and yoga, that is Ashtanga Yoga concepts.
Okay.
And even the liberation also. So once again, so that's what Narada Muni is also chastising Vyasadeva, that all these things are done. Now, once again, what is that here they want to say? Again and again it's repeated.
They want to say that one should not entangle anything temporary, they should focus on their ultimate goal. Because there is a need of all these things, because the people are on different modes and different mental framework. They will help somebody. There's no doubt, but like Parikshit is not a candidate for this going to the heaven. But there are people, they will go to heaven, come back, then they will know there must be a higher thing than that. So this will lead ultimately, at least they are following Vedas, so they are within the fold of the Vedas. So they are Aryas. But they are not like a most intelligent people knowing the purpose of the human life. So this is also, these are also the stages which are needed for the people who are at a lower level of consciousness.
Can I say something to me?
Yes.
Yeah. So many times, so many things are repeated in Shastra. So one point is that repetition drives the point home. It is to...
Yeah, repetition... Like Prabhupada, in every lecture he said, we are not body, we are soul. Because the purpose is that we should completely be convinced about this. So repetition of some subject, far as you are saying, reaching to the ultimate understanding and conclusion is okay. Okay, the condition soul. Yes?
I have another question. So, Virat Roop, we don't generally meditate on the Virat Roop. Although we know that opulences of the Lord, whatever we see in this world, it's just a spark of the Lord's splendor. And we just see it in an intellectual way through the eyes of the Shastras. But we don't worship them. So,
yeah, because we are taking to the devotional service by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada, and most of the people are still worshipping the vibhutis. They are going to the peepal tree, they are going to the different demigods, they are all vibhutis. Almost 99% people in India are worshipping the Virat Roop in some form. In some form of some demigod, some form of some other things. We are fortunate that we have come into the fold of Gauranga Mahaprabhu's this Krishna conscious movement. But most of the people are at the lower level. You can see it around you, all people are going to the temple with a more like a generalized demigod concept of the worship, which is nothing but a pantheism.
So this understanding of deriving, worshipping the Virat form of the Lord means, it's like that some attributes are being favored to some other living entity. And how do we worship the Virat form? So
this is a meditation, thinking of the lotus feet, is a Patal Lok, his head is a the Brahma's Satya Lok, his arms are Kshatriya. It's like this is a meditation people do. Those who are yogi, they'll do. They see what they say is Khande Se Brahmande. What is in the Brahman, that is in our body also. So they meditate on their own body, and considering this is the body which is connected with the whole universal body. So therefore they go to the impersonalism, aham graha upasana, they worship themselves.
Here the opulences, if you consider in relation to the opulences of the Lord, there are some, whatever opulences a person, a great person has,
is just the Lord's part of it.
Not only living entities, even the matter has also many. I have a list of the universal form in which so many incarnations are counted, so many demigods are counted, so many living entities are counted, so many material things are counted. So there is a list. I don't know if you want, I can find out and send this print out of the universal form, which is in Bhagavad Gita, as all the different components. There's some incarnation like Adityanam Aham Vishnu, Shastar Bhritam Ramo Asmi, this is Parashuram. Adityanam Vishnu is our Upendra or Vaman Dev. And Virshuniram Vasudevo Asmi is not Krishna. Krishna cannot be the opulence, he is the source of the opulence. So here Vasudev means his first expansion, Balaram. So there are many incarnations included in the opulence also.
So the point, bro, actually what gets that their point, what I want to say is that suppose we see some opulence in someone, so it's also worshipping Vrishabhapuru, am I right?
If we appreciate and worship, then worshipping. If we see through that Krishna, then that is perfectly all right vision of a devotee. Because any opulence remind us of Krishna. And the best opulence of the Supreme Lord is the devotee. By seeing the devotee, we remember Krishna. That is the best opulence.
So now, and also we have a conception like Vrishabhapuru. Generally, we don't worship Vrishabhapuru because it is this psychology is there. That's an impersonal.
Well, then one line will come in, I think, third or fourth purport, where Prabhupada has put the word impersonal and Vrat together. But actually, the reason why we don't worship the Vrat or universal form is because there is no reciprocation of love and service with the universal form. And Prabhupada used to give example, a father of a child who is colonel in the army, and there's a war on the border, and there is a bombs and the cannons and the guns there, he's not going to embrace his father. So Virat Roop is like that. But same father, when comes at home in a normal non-army costumes, the child will just embrace him and they reciprocate. So devotees are more interested in the personal loving form of Sri Krishna rather than his universal form, because there is no exchange of service with the universal form. That is the main reason given.
Yes. But here, Brahmaji is meditating on the Virat Roop instead of the Lord.
Because it is an intermediate result, it is not the final result. Because he has to create, and creation is through Virat Roop. This is assigned duty. He has to create, and creation has to be done through Virat Roop. This is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu's business.
But earlier he didn't do it like that.
Every time when he wake up, he does like that. When he sleep and he wake up, he does like the same thing. Because when he sleeps, he forget everything when he sleeps.
But the initial thing was, it was called tapa. He heard the words and he
meditated. Well, he did the tapa. And tapa here means actually he was meditating.
Meditating on the form of the Lord, it was not mentioned as Virat Roop on that time.
Well, it does not say either the form of the Lord. He was going up and down there in the stem of the lotus and all the 14 planetary system. He could not find any end. Ultimately, he was meditating, and then the Supreme Lord Vishnu appeared to him and shook hand with him. And he said, I am pleased with you. But here, Sukhdev Goswami is giving example that he meditated on a universal form. Actually, this is also in third canto, you will find that he used the ingredient from the universal form to offer to the universal form, because there was nothing except universal form.
So why? Because it's Brahmaji meditated on the Virat Rupa universal form, and he got reciprocation from the Lord also here.
See, for his purpose of creation, not for loving the Lord. Actually, the Brahmaji is also going through the sort of realization. This stage of realization in second chapter, second canto is different, third canto is different. Then Brahmaji's prayer in the 10th canto are completely different to the Lord Sri Krishna. So it appears that he is also evolving in his practice of spiritual discipline. Actually, Brahma got the 18th syllable Gopal mantra from Saraswati. That Gopal mantra he was chanting, and ultimately he met Krishna also. So he has a Brahma Santa, which is Brahma's complete description of Supreme Lord. It doesn't mean that Brahma don't know Supreme Lord, but this is a procedure. If you have to create, you have to meditate on the universal form. So this is what Prabhupada said, everybody has an assigned service, an assigned way to do the things.
So generally the people have the tendency of appreciating anything in this world. It's actually indirectly they're worshipping the Virat Rupa.
Well, that's what Prabhupada is saying. It's good that somehow or other people are like even what Prabhupada has written, aborigines, what is the people living in the forest, they also admire something. So that is good, at least they are appreciating some powerful thing, which is nothing but God. When next time somebody will tell them this is all is the opulence of God, they will come to the realization of God. So this is like a first stage of God realization, as the chapter says. First stage is God in God realization. Now we are going to the second stage.
Okay, thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Guruji.
Yes.
Guruji, as the yogi meditate on the Virat group to seeing this nature, but suppose a devotee who is not on the so advanced level, he just try to. So, what is good for him? So, he should practice like a yogi. He should see the everything same as the yogi, or he should
Devotee means if Krishna conscious devotee has nothing to do with all these things. He is simply following the path of sadhan bhakti, and there's a five limb sadhan bhakti given by Prabhupada as a practice in ISKCON temple, all ISKCON temples. Panchang bhakti, that is completely a package given to us with the three first most important item of the six out of 64, accepting the lotus feet of a spiritual master, taking initiation and instruction and serving a spiritual master, and then the five ang bhakti are the most important.
So devotee does not have need to see everywhere Krishna, like
he can relate everything connected to Krishna, but it is spontaneous. It's not that he will go through something to Krishna. He is directly serving Krishna, and by mercy of Krishna he can utilize everything in service of Krishna and connected with Krishna. So it's not that he will go from the worldly thing to Krishna. He is already knowing Krishna, then this is the Avaroha Panta. You know actually the principal thing and then you go to the general. And in a Aroha Panta, when you go up, you know, you go from general to specific. And in a descending, you go from specific to general.
So what in that sense, devotee can use.
Yeah, we are going from specific to general, not opposite. Hare Krishna, now somebody should read this purport.
The conditioned soul is always engaged in laying out plans for...
Disconnected? No sound.
The conditioned soul is always engaged in laying out plans for happiness within the material world, even up to the end of the universal limit.
End of the universal limit means?
Brahma?
Yeah, yes, everybody is trying to do, be happy. Okay, universal limit means as long as universal exists, as long as universes exist, they are planning to be happy. Not one life, as long as universes exist, means life of Brahma. Okay?
He is not even satisfied with the available amenities on this planet Earth, where he has exploited the resources of nature to the best of his ability. He wants to go to the moon or the planet Venus to exploit resources there. But the Lord has warned us in Bhagavad Gita 8.16 about the worthlessness of all
so
the innumerable.
So what is this verse? Ah, Brahma Bhuna Loka Punaravartino Arjuna. This is the verse, yeah? If you go even to the planet of Brahma, then still you have to come down. So even if you go to the moon, this is what Prabhupada is speaking about, the modern scientist. So even you go to the planet of Brahma, but it is useless. Yeah, now read this verse.
But the Lord has warned us in the Bhagavad Gita 8.16 about the worthlessness of all the innumerable planets of this universe, as well as those planets within other systems. There are innumerable universes and also innumerable planets in each of them. But none of them is immune to the chief miseries of material existence, namely the pangs of birth, the pangs of death, the pangs of old age, and the pangs of disease. The Lord says that even the topmost planet known as Brahmaloka or Satyaloka, and what I speak of other planets like the heavenly planets, is not a happy land for residential purposes, due to the presence of material pangs as above mentioned. Conditioned souls are all strictly under the laws of fruitive activities, and as such they sometimes go up to Brahmaloka and again come down to Pataloka as if they were unintelligent children on a merry-go-round.
Okay.
The real
you understand merry-go-round, no? Everybody understand, no?
Yeah, Ferris wheel.
Well, once I was speaking in Calcutta in a children park, and we were speaking Bhagavatam, and the children were going up by the stair, and then they are gliding down. So I asked them what they are doing. They are playing, going up and coming down. I said, that is what, why don't you do that? He said, this is children's play. I said, that is what actually whole world is doing, children played, going to the heaven and then coming back in this world. Going up and coming back is a children play. Why you are doing that? Why don't you become intelligent and give up this unintelligent children's merry-go-around and go back home, back to Godhead? Why you are using the children's activity of going up and coming down? Okay.
The real happiness is in the kingdom of God, where no one has to undergo the pangs of material existence. Therefore, the Vedic ways of fruitive activities for the living entities are misleading. One thinks of a superior way of life in this country or that, or on this planet or another. But nowhere in the material world can he fulfill his real desire of life, namely eternal life, full intelligence and complete bliss. Indirectly, Srila Sukadeva Goswami affirms that Maharaja Parikshit in the last stage of life should not desire to transfer himself to the so-called heavenly planets, but should prepare himself for going back home, back to Godhead. None of the material planets, nor the amenities available there for living conditions, is everlasting. Therefore, one must have a factual reluctance to enjoy such temporary happiness as they offer.
Okay, so what is the message?
No, don't go to
heavenly planet. Stay here. No.
Go back to Krishna.
Don't go to this country or this country. I will be happy there. Stay in Vrindavan and Mayapur, chant Hare Krishna and go back to home, back to Godhead. Verse number 3. Atakavi namasuyavad artha. Syad aparamato vivasayasa buddhi siddhya anyarathe nayate tatra parisharamam tatra samikshamana. Therefore, ataha, being fixed in determination, vivasaya buddhi, attentive to his goal, aparmatah syat, the wise man, Kavi, will take only what he needs from this world of names to support the body. Namasu yavad arthah. He should not attempt, na yateta, to support himself by other means, since it requires unnecessary labor. Anyatha arthe parisharmam tatra samikshamanah. Word summary. Therefore, a wise person takes only what is needed from this temporary world to keep his body and soul together. That is the concept given in this verse. And the words will come good use of bad bargain. So Srila Prabhupada's translation. For this reason, an enlightened person should endeavor only for minimum necessity of the life while in the world of the names. He should be intelligently fixed and never endeavor for unwanted things. Being competent to perceive practically that all such endeavors are merely hard labor for nothing. Now, Chakravarti Pat said, having criticized severely the path of karmis as being material, he now speaks about necessity of attaining perfection in yoga, which rejects the result of karma and which is common to the devotees and jnanis as well. The intelligent person does not meditate on material object of pleasure and does not endeavor for them. It is said, this is the 1-10. Life's desire should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire only a healthy life or a self-preservation. Since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth, nothing else should be the goal of one's life. Tattva jigyasa. So one should accept as many material objects as one needs to support the body, yavadartha. Because one is attentive, apramata. Paramata is inattentive, aparmata is attentive. To perfecting one's sadhana, though one sees many obstacles, one does not deviate from one's practice, vivasaya atmika buddhi. He concludes, whatever happens, simply happen. Whatever I have decided, that is certain. The amount needed to support the body of a young person is not the same as one's own needs. Though there are other ways of supporting the body, one does not attempt them, because in such efforts there is a labor of worshipping the wealthy man, etc. It is like grinding that has already been ground. Pishta peshana nyaya. Now Srila Prabhupada's purport. Bhagavat dharma or cult of Srimad Bhagavatam is perfectly distinct from the fruitive activities which are considered by the devotees to be merely a waste of time. The whole universe, for that matter, all material existence is moving on as a jagat simply by planning business to make one's position very comfortable and secure. Although everyone sees that this existence is neither comfortable nor secure and can never become comfortable or secure at any stage of development. Those who are captivated by the illusory advancement of material civilization, following the way of Phantas Gomoria, are certainly madmen, Pramatha. The whole material creation is jugglery of names only. In fact, it is nothing but a bewildering creation of matter like earth, water, fire. Buildings, furniture, cars, bungalow, mills, factory, industries, peace, war, even the highest perfection of material science, namely atomic energy and electron, are all simply bewildering names of material elements with their concomitant reaction of the three modes. Yeah, whatever, everything is from 24 elements. Whatever you say, it is thus, that is all. Since the devotee of the Lord knows them perfectly well, he is not interested in creating unwanted things for a situation which is not at all reality, but simply names of no more significance than bubble of the sea waves. The great kings, the leaders, the soldiers fight with one another in order to perpetuate their names in the history. They are forgotten in due course of time and they make a place for another era in the history. But the devotee realizes how much history and historical person are useless product of flickering time. The fruitive worker aspires after a big fortune in the matter of wealth, woman and worldly adoration. But those who are fixed in perfect reality are not at all interested in such false things. For them it is all a waste of time. Since every second of human life is important, an enlightened man should be very careful to utilize time very cautiously. 1 second of the human life wasted in the vein of research, in this research of planning for happiness in material world, can never be replaced even if one expends millions of coins of gold. Therefore, transcendentalists desiring freedom from cultures of Maya or illusory activities of life is warned herewith not to be captivated by external feature of fruitive actors. External feature of fruitive actors. Human life is never meant for sense gratification, but for self-realization. Srimad Bhagavat instruct us solely on the subject from the very beginning to the end. Human life is simply meant for self-realization. The civilization which aims at this utmost perfection never indulges in creating unwanted things, and such a perfect civilization prepares men only to accept bare necessities of life, to follow the principle of best use of bad bargain. Now remember these Prabhupada's golden words. Our material bodies and our lives in that connection are bad bargain. So bad bargain is our material body. Because living entity is actually spirit. And spiritual advancement of living entity is absolutely necessary. So human life is intended for realization of this important factor. And one should act accordingly, accepting only the bare necessity of life and depending more on God's gift without diversion of human energy for any other purpose, such as being made for material enjoyment. The materialistic advancement of civilization is called civilization of demons, which ultimately end in war and scarcity. The transcendentalist is specifically warned herewith to fix his mind so that even if there is difficulty in plain living and higher thinking, he will not budge even an inch from his stark determination. Can somebody explain what is simple living, high thinking? Yes, concept of simple thinking, high living?
Working so much that we can keep our soul and body together and side by side working for spiritual upliftment.
So how it really help us to get free from the material entanglement?
Then we don't relate ourselves to the body every time, every minute, every second. That helps us to move above the bodily concept of life.
Okay. Somebody else?
To engage in service of Krishna to the max and minimize
Advaita
use of
Krishna.
Self.
Yes, Advaita Krishna is speaking.
This is Ajara.
Yes.
So, and minimize sense gratification and minimize time spent for earning money.
Acha, okay.
May I, Prabhu?
Yes.
Simplicity means that we don't need a lot of things to be happy.
So, simply living means not getting many things to be happy, okay?
Yeah. Hare Krishna, Prabhupada.
Yes?
It also means that we are not in the rat race with the materialists.
Okay, we are not in rat race with the actors. These actors, okay, Prabhupada says, material actors, okay? If we live simply.
Simple life, Prabhupada also explains that based on cows and land.
Yes. If we live simply, then simple living will make us immune to the Maya. Because you don't have anything, Maya, what the Maya will allure you for. So simple living make us free from the entanglement of the material energy, and higher thinking will bring us in the fold of internal energy. So simple living means getting free from external energy, and higher thinking means getting in the jurisdiction of internal energy, and we are marginal, so we are in a right situation by higher thinking higher. So this is actually shifting ourselves from the material energy to the spiritual energy, from the external energy to the internal energy. This is the insight of the simple living and high thinking. Is it okay?
Wonderful, Prabhu.
Yeah, this is actually the advantage of this type of life. And then what you said is all details. They are all details, but this is the theme. The theme is
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. We have heard so much this sentence, simple living, high thinking, but I have never heard such a good explanation ever.
Heard from some good devotees, so it is good that simple living free us from the external energy and higher thinking get us into the jurisdiction of internal energy. So that will be our goal. Is it okay?
Prabhuji, can you repeat again?
Simple living will free us from the influence of external energy. And higher thinking will bring us in the jurisdiction of internal energy. And that is our goal. You have heard this joke, huh? A person went to the astrologer and he said, you have a bad sunny, Saturn. He said, so what can I do? He said, well, have some big puja of 5,000. He said, I don't have 5,000. He said, then you can have 1,000. He said, no possible, not possible. 500, 250, 110, no, not possible. 51, it's not possible. 21, no. 10, 11, no. 5, sorry. He said, go and enjoy what the Saturn will do you to. You don't have anything. What he will do to you? Be free, enjoy. So if we are so simply living, then nobody will trouble us at all. We will be completely depending upon God. So the transcendentalist is specifically warned here to fix his mind so that even if there's a difficulty in plain living and high thinking, he will not budge even an inch from his stock of determination. For a transcendentalist suicidal policy to be intimately in touch with the sense gratifier of the world, because such a policy will frustrate the ultimate gain of life. Sukadeva Goswami met Maharaj Parikshit when he later felt a necessity for such meeting. It is the duty of a translator to help persons who desire real salvation and to support the cause of salvation. One might note that Sukadeva never met Maharaj Parikshit while he was ruling as a great king. For the translator, the mode of activities is explained in the next sloka, how the transcendentalist should act. So we are going to the verse number 4. Okay, verse number 4 says, Satyam kshitau kim kshap kashipoho paryasai baho swasiddhai hai upabranahi kim satyanjau anjalau kim purudhana patriya diga valakado sati kim dukulai. If there is a earth, satyam kshatav, kshatav means earth, why do we need bed? Kim kashipo, hiranakashipu, kashipo means bed. If you have arm, bahu, swasiddhe, why do we need a plow? Upabranai. If you have your palm of hands, karpatri, anjali, why do you need many dishes, utensils? If you have a direction and tree bark, why do you need clothing? Verse summary. What is the lifestyle of such a wise man? He sleeps on ground, uses hand as his plow, uses his palm as his dishes, or the utensil, and tree bark as his clothing. It means this is a simple living, example of simple living, which is not practical for a modern man. So this is the simple living. All right. Srila Prabhupada says, when there is ample earthly flat to live on. Flats to live on means the plain land. What is the necessity of car and beds? When one uses his own arm, what is the necessity of plow? When one uses the palm of his hands, what is the necessity of variety of utensils? When there is ample covering or the skin of trees, what is the necessity of clothing? This is the sadhu living in the forest. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Somebody can read? Who is reading now? Yes, Prabhus?
I can read, Prabhuji.
Okay.
The necessities of life for the protection and comfort of the body must not be unnecessarily increased. Human energy is exploited in a vain search after such illusory happiness. If one is able to lie down on the good floor, then why should one endeavor to get good bedstead or soft cushion to lie on? If one can rest without any pillow and make use of the soft hands endowed by nature, there is no necessity of searching after a pillow. If we make a study of the general life of the animals, we can see that they have no intelligence for building big houses, furniture, and other household paraphernalia. And yet, they maintain a healthy life by living down on the open land. They do not know how to cook or prepare foodstuff. Yet, they still live healthy lives more easily than the human being. This does not mean that human civilization should revert to animal life, or that the human being should live naked in the jungles without any culture, education, and sense of morality. An intelligent human cannot live the life of an animal. Rather, man should try to utilize his intelligence in arts and science, poetry and philosophy. In such a way, he can further the progressive march of human civilization. But here the idea given by Srila Sukadeva Goswami is that the reserve energy of human life, which is far superior to that of animals, should simply be utilized for self-realization. Advancement of human civilization must be towards the goal of establishing our lost relationship with God, which is not possible in any form of life other than the human. One must realize the nullity of the human phenomenon, considering it a passing phantasmagoria, and must endeavor to make a solution to the miseries of life. Self-complacence with a polished type of human civilization geared to sense gratification is delusion, and such a civilization is not worthy of the name. In pursuit of such false activities, a human being is in the clutches of maya or illusion. Great sages and saints, in the days of yoga, are not living in palatial buildings, who are not living in palatial buildings, furnished with good furniture and so-called amenities of life. They used to live in huts and groves and sit on the flat ground, and yet they left immense treasures of high knowledge with all perfection. Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatan Goswami were high-ranking ministers of state, but they were able to leave behind them the immense writings on transcendental knowledge, which, while residing only for one night under one tree, they did not live even two nights under the same tree. And what to speak of well-furnished rooms with modern amenities, and still they were able to give up the most important, give us most important literatures of self-realization. So-called comforts of life are not actually helpful for progressive civilization, rather they're detrimental to such progressive life. In the system of Sanatan Dharma, of four divisions of social life and four orders of progressive realization, there are ample opportunities and sufficient directions for a happy termination of the progressive life. And the sincere followers are advised therein to accept a voluntary life of renunciation in order to achieve the desired goal of life. If one is not accustomed to abiding by the life of renunciation and self-abnegation from the beginning, one should try to get into the habit at a later stage of life, as recommended by Srila Sukadeva Goswami, and that will help one to achieve the desired success.
So, even when Srila Prabhupada was here, you see the Damodar, his living quarters, a small room, maybe 8 by 10 or 12. Usually there was nothing, like the kitchen was on the other side. And just a simple life living. He was riding on a bicycle to distribute his Back to Godhead magazine at the age of 65. So we can see these saintly people were living so simple life. Well, that is what we have seen ourselves, the early days of this ISKCON, the all sannyasi were living a very simple life. Even when Juhu was under construction, the all Western devotees were living in a thatch roof huts and tin sheds. Well, this is the actually tapasya or the austerity which Prabhupada writes, self-abnegation. The self-abnegation means austerity actually. That actually purify the senses. Austerity purify the senses. So the whole idea is, if we have a simple lifestyle, then it is easy really to practice devotional service. So this is more or less for a simple living, but that is what is described as in a bygone days, which is not practical for practical preaching nowadays. But we should not be attached to all these things. If they are there, we can use it for service of Krishna. If they are not there, we should not be attached to them. We should just continue with whatever is available. By chanting Hare Krishna, we can continue our life. The verse number 5 says, Chirani kim pathi nasanti dishanti bhikshan naiva anghi naiva naiva angripaha parabhritta saritopi asushyam ruddhaha guha kim ajito avati nopasannan kasmad bhajanti kavayo dhana durmadda andhaha. Are there not torn cloth on the roads? Are not the trees sustainer of the others, giving alms? Have the rivers gone dry? Have the way caves are closed? Does not Vishnu protect his devotees? Why should the wise worship the blind man infatuated with money? summary of the verse is like this. If not for tree barks, he looks out for some torn cloth, depend on the trees for food, takes water from river, live in the caves, and the most importantly, he is dependent on Vishnu for his protection. He never tries to flatter rich men for their money. So depend upon Krishna and utilize your energy in service of Krishna. He will provide everything. Now we have this verse number 5. Srila Prabhupada writes, are there no torn cloth lying on the common road? So we have almost understood the meaning. The last line is good. Why then do the learned sage go to flatter those who are intoxicated by hard-earned wealth? Why to go to the rich people? Chakravarti Pad writes, but how can I get rid of cold? Angry at such an objection, he speaks, is there not torn cloth lying on the road? How can I relieve my hunger? Do the trees which nourish others not give alms? Man should not give you anything. I have to find some water. What bad intelligence you have. Have the rivers gone dry? But I will have to protect myself from hell. A grass hut is necessary. Have the cave closed? But if I go to a cave, there may be tiger. Do not Vishnu protect his devotees? The Lord in the heart is in the tiger also. Why will the Lord affectionate to the devotee send the tiger to attack the devotee? So this is a question answer for our wicked mind. How to pacify. Or Srila Prabhupada's mostly purpose is for the sannyasi, they should live like that. The renounced order of life is never meant for begging or living at the cost of others as a parasite. According to the dictionary, the parasite is sycophant who lives at the cost of society without making any contribution to that society. A renounced order is meant for contributing something substantial to the society and not depending on the earning of the householders. On the contrary, acceptance of the alms from the householder by a bona fide mendicant is an opportunity afforded by the saint to the tangible benefit of the donor. In the Sanatana Dharma Institution, alms given to the mendicant is a part of householder's duty, and is advised in the scripture that the householder should treat the mendicant as their family child, maybe their family children, and should provide them with food, clothing, etc., without being asked. Pseudo-medicants, therefore, should not take advantage of the charitable disposition of the faithful householders. The first duty of the person in the renounced order of life is to contribute some literary work for the benefit of the human being in order to give him realized direction towards self-realization. Amongst the other duties in the renounced order of life of Srila Sanatan, Srila Rupa and other Goswamis of Vrindavan, the foremost duty discharged by them was to hold learned discourses among themselves at Seva Kunj Vrindavan, the spot where Radha Damodar temple was established by Srila Jiva Goswami, and where the actual Samadhi term of Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Jiva Goswami are laid. For the benefit of all in human society, they left behind them immense literature of transcendental importance. Similarly, all the acharyas who voluntarily accepted the renounced order of life aimed at benefiting human society and not living a comfortable or irresponsible life at the cost of others. However, those who cannot give any contribution should not go to the householder for food. For such mendicant, asking bread from householder are an insult to the highest order. Sukhdev gave this warning especially for those mendicants who adopt this line of profession to solve their economical problems. Such mendicants are in abundance in the age of Kali. When a man becomes a mendicant willfully or by circumstances, he must be of a firm faith and conviction that Supreme Lord is the maintainer of all living beings everywhere in the universe. why then would he neglect the maintenance of the surrendered soul? Who sent person engaged in the service of the Lord? The common master looks to the necessity of his servant. So how much more would all-powerful, all-opulent Supreme Lord look after the necessity of life for fully surrendered soul? A general rule is that mendicant devotee will accept a simple small loincloth without asking anyone to give it to in charity. He simply salvages it from the rejected torn cloth thrown in the street. When he's hungry, he may go to the magnanimous tree which drops fruit. And when he's thirsty, he may drink the water from the flowing river. He does not require to live in a comfortable house, but should find a cave in the hill and not be afraid of jungle animals. Keeping faith in God, who lives in everyone's heart. Lord may dictate a tiger or other a jungle animal not to disturb the devotee. Now Srila Prabhupada gives the story of Haridas Thakur and a snake living in his cave. Ultimately, the snake left and Haridas was doing his bhajan there. So snake actually crawled out of the hole in the cave and left the cave for good before everyone's present. By the dictation of Lord, who lived also within the heart of a snake, the snake gave preference to Haridas and decided to leave the place, not disturb him. So this is the tangible example of how the Lord gives protection to the bona fide regulation of the bona fide devotee of the Lord, Haridas Thakur. According to the regulation of Sanatana Dharma Institute, one is trained from the beginning to depend fully on protection of Lord in all circumstances. The path of renunciation is recommended for acceptance by one who is fully accomplished and fully purified in his existence. This stage is described also in Bhagavad Gita 6.5, 16.5 as Devi Sampata. A human being is required to accumulate Devi Sampata or spiritual assets. Otherwise, the next alternative is Asuri Sampata or material assets will overcome him disproportionately, and thus one will be forced into the entanglement of different miseries of material world. A sannyasi should always live alone without company, and he must be fearless. He should never be afraid of living alone. Although he is never alone, the Lord is desiring everyone's heart. And unless one is purified by the prescribed process, one will feel that he is alone. But a man in a renounced order of life must be purified by the process. Thus he will feel the presence of the Lord everywhere and will have nothing to fear, such a being without any company. Everyone can become a fearless and honest person if his very existence is purified by discharging the prescribed duties for each and every order of the life, varnashram. One can become fixed in one's prescribed duty by faithful oral reception of Vedic injection and assimilation of the sense of Vedic knowledge by devotional service to the Lord. So on this purpose, can somebody give some example? Yes?
Srila Prabhupada was a good example.
Yes, practically. He at the age of 70 alone, boarded on a cargo ship and took a great risk of his life and landed in a country completely corrupt by Kali Yuga in a world's largest city, New York. But he never felt I am alone. And how he was living, sleeping on the floor, having only one set of cloth, washing in the night, putting on drying, using gamcha, having only typewriter that was also stolen. So his life, it's not that we are reading the history and old bygone days. Personally, what Prabhupada has undergone, the simple, as a single person, he was completely dependent upon Krishna. And we see the result. And Srila Prabhupada writes in one of the purport in 10th canto, 2nd chapter, we have thousands of the devotees which have no fixed job, but they are all opulently maintained by the Supreme Lord. So this realization devotees can have in their life, and we have so many such examples. The sannyasi is traveling on the motorbikes, on the cars, having no money, stopping at the gas station, asking somebody to fill, and then moving further. So, depending, most important is depending on the Lord, not depending on somebody else. If somebody is depending on the somebody else, it means he is he's not purified within his heart, within his existence. Purification means presence of the Lord all the times, at all places, in all circumstances. And whatever Lord does, that is only the beneficial for us. We have no separate plan than Lord's plan. So verse number 6. Evam svaichite svata eva siddha atma priyartho bhagavan ananta tam nirvirto nirvirto nyatta artho bhajeta sansara heto pramascha yatra. Thus being situated, he, the Lord, who is filled with prema, priyaha, who is most valued, artha, who is full of all qualities, Bhagavan, and who is everywhere, Anantaha, appears spontaneously in his heart, Svachate eva siddha, the yogi filled with bliss, nirvirta, and aiming for prem, niyata artha, should worship him, tama bhajeta, by this worship, yatra, ignorance, the cause of repeated birth, sansara hetu, is destroyed, uparmata. The summary of the verse is, in the heart of a person thus situated, the Lord appears spontaneously. And yogi who blissfully worship him destroy the ignorance which is the cause of repeated birth and death. So, Srila Prabhupada writes, Thus being fixed means depending upon protection by Supreme Lord and necessary provided by the nature, not any other person than Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. Thus being fixed, one must render service to the Super Soul. Now it's coming to the meditating on Super Soul, which is the title of the chapter. Super Soul situated in one's own heart by his omnipotency. Because he is the almighty personality of Godhead, eternal and unlimited. He is unlimited goal of life. And by worshipping him, one can end the cause of conditioned state of existence. Chakravarti Pad writes, it is necessary for the yogi to search out the ingredients for worshipping the Lord. Question. This verse answers, it is already accomplished because Vasudev, Atma, is already in his heart. It is not necessary to follow procedures like avahan, to call the Lord. Avahan means to invite Lord, as the karmakanda is in a yajna kal avahamya. Avahamya means inviting. There is no need. He is already there. So priya artha bhagavan and anant are modifier of the atma, this Lord. The Lord is naturally the shelter of prem. Thus he is called priya. Though he is shelter of the prem, he has no unwanted accessories like sons, since he is the supreme object, artha. Though he is the supreme object, he is not just in the heart. He is Bhagavan, observed with beauty and other qualities. He is not restricted to a place at all. He is situated in all places, since he is all-pervading, ananta. There is no effort needed in worshipping God. Devotee is absorbed completely in bliss of his worship, nirvirta. He has prem as fixed goal of his bhakti, niyatartha. Or niyatartha can mean he has fixed the number of names and chant that he chants, how many stories he will hear, how many obeisances he will offer, how much time he will meditate. By that worship, ignorance, the cause of sansar, should be destroyed. As an unsought result for the devotee. For the jnanis and yogis, however, this is a sought result. The word cha added to complete the meter. Okay, Srila Prabhupada's purport. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 1861, Ishwar Sarvabhutanam Hirdesho Arjun Tishtati Brahmayam Sarvarudha Brahmayam Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. So Supreme Lord God is Sri Krishna, the all-pervading, omnipresent super soul. Therefore, one who is a yogi can worship only him, because he is the substance and not illusion. Every living creature is engaged in the service of something else. A living being's constant position is to render service, but in atmosphere of maya or illusion, or a conditioned state of existence, the conditioned soul seeks service of illusion, maya. A conditioned soul works in the service of his temporary body, bodily relative like wife and children, and the necessary paraphernalia for maintaining the body and bodily relations such as house, land, wealth, society, country. But he does not know that all such rendering of service are totally illusory. As we have discussed many times before, this material world is itself an illusion, like a mirage in the desert. In the desert there is an illusion of the water, and the foolish animals become entrapped by such an illusion and run after water in the desert, although there is no water at all. But because there is no water in the desert, one does not conclude that there is no water at all. Intelligent person know well that there is certainly water, water in the sea and ocean, but such vast reserve water are far, far away from desert. It means from material world, the spiritual world is far, far away. One should therefore search for water in the vicinity of seas and ocean and not in the desert. Every one of us is searching after real happiness in life, namely eternal life, eternal unlimited knowledge and unending blissful life, such as on. But foolish people who have no knowledge of the substance search after the reality of life in illusion. This material body does not endure eternally, and everything in relation with this temporary body, such as wife, children, society and country, also change along with the change of the body. This is called sansara, or repetition of birth, death, old age and disease. We would like to find a solution for all these problems of life, but we do not know the way. Herein, it is suggested that anyone who wants to make an end to these miseries of life, namely repeated birth, death, old age, disease, must take the process of worshipping Supreme Lord and not others, as it is also ultimately suggested in Bhagavad Gita 1865. Sar Dharman Paritaja. If we at all want to end the cause of our conditioned life, we must take to the worship of Lord Krishna, who is present in everyone's heart by his natural affection for all living beings, who are actually the part and parcel of the Lord. So what is 65? What is 65? Man mana bhav bhakto or sarv dharman paritaje?
Man mana
bhav bhakto. Yeah, man mana bhav bhakto, right. Okay. Now Prabhupada is giving analogy. The baby in the lap of a mother is naturally attached to the mother, and the mother is attached to the child. But when the child grows up and becomes overwhelmed by circumstances, he gradually becomes detached from the mother, although the mother always expects some sort of service from the grown-up child and is equally affectionate towards her child, even though child is forgetful. Similarly, because we are all part and parcel of Lord, the Lord is always affectionate to us, and he always tries to get us back home, back to Godhead. But we, the conditioned souls, do not care for him and run instead after the illusory bodily connection. We must therefore extricate ourselves from all illusory connection of the world and seek reunion with Lord, trying to render service unto him, because he is the ultimate truth. Actually, we are hankering after him as a child seeking mother. And to search out the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we need not to go anywhere else, because Lord is within our heart. This does not suggest, however, that we should not go to the places of worship, namely temple, church and mosque. This is Prabhupada's broader vision, including all the people of different faiths. Such holy places of worship are also occupied by the Lord, because the Lord is omnipresent. For the common man, these holy places are center of learning about the science of God. When the temples are devoid of activities, the people in general become uninterested in such places, and consequently mass of people gradually become godless, and godless civilization is the result. Such a hellish civilization artificially increases the condition of life, and existence becomes intolerable for everyone. The foolish leaders of the godless civilization try to devise various plans to bring about peace and prosperity in the godless world under a patent landmark of materialism. And because such attempts are illusory only, people elect incompetent blind leaders, one after another, who are incapable of offering solutions. We want at all to end this anomaly of a godless civilization. We must follow the principle of revealed scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam and follow the instruction of a person like Sukadev Goswami, who has no attraction for material gain. So in this whole purport, God loves us and He is providing all the facilities that we can remember Him, but still we are forgetful of Him. So, to be free from all suffering of the material world, the only solution is we should revive our relation with Lord and worship Him. That will bring the peace and prosperity in the society, not by artificial means, by the modern blind civilization. So it's not only we meditate on the heart, but we in the heart about the Supreme Lord, but we should go to the places of the worship. Now verse number 7, today's our Kastam Tvanadritta Paranuchintan Rite Pashun Asatim Nam Kuryat Pashyan Janam Patitam Vaitrinyam Swaha Karamjam Pratipana Jushnam. Seeing people experiencing suffering from their own actions while sinking in the river of hell, who except persons indulge in the material life would disregard bhakti, which concentrate on the Lord and meditate instead on the material objects? Summary: giving up such glorious path of the devotion, only an animalistic person would choose to meditate on temporary object promised by the path of karma, because the section is give up karma kanda and go to the path of liberation. So this is the Srila Prabhupada writes, who else but the gross materialistic animalistic pashum will neglect such transcendent thought, which means worship to the Supreme Lord, and take to the non-permanent names only? Seeing the mass of people fall in the river of suffering as a consequence of occurring the result of their own work because of the karma. Chakravarti Pad writes, this verse states the opposite. Para refer to Supreme Lord, who accept those involved in material life pashun, would unsuitably disrespect bhakti and think of material objects, asatim. Srila Prabhupada writes, in the Vedas it is said that persons who are attached to the demigods to the exclusion of Supreme Person of God are like the animals who follow the herdmen even though they are taken to the slaughterhouse. This is karmakanda. Demigod worship means karmakanda. The materialists like animals who do not know how they are being misdirected by neglecting the transcendent thought of Supreme Person. No one can remain vacant of thought. Empty mind, nobody can have empty mind. It is said that idle brain is devil's workshop, because a person who cannot think in the right way must think of something which may bring about disaster. The materialists are always worshipping some minor demigods, although this is condemned in Bhagavad Gita 7:20. As long as a person is illusioned by material gains, he petitions the respective demigod to draw some particular benefit which is After all, illusory and non-permanent. The enlightened transcendent is not captivated by such illusory things. Therefore, he is always absorbed in the transcendental thought of the Supreme in different stages of realization, namely, Brahma if he is a jnani, Paramatma if he is a yogi, and Bhagavan if he is a devotee. In the previous verse, it is suggested that one should think of the super soul, which is one step higher than the... Now, this is the line I was saying. Read this line carefully. In the previous verse, it is suggested that one should think of the super soul. That is the heading of the chapter. Which is one step higher than the impersonal thought of Brahma. Up till this is okay. As it was suggested in the case of contemplating the Virat Roop of personality of Godhead. So here Srila Prabhupada is equating the Brahma realization and Virat Roop meditation. Because usually these are the impersonal which prefer universal form over the Vishnu form or Krishna form. So this stage is second stage in God realization. First chapter is first and Paramatma realization is second. Intelligent person who can see properly may look into the general condition of living entities who are wandering cycle of 8,400,000 species life as well as in different classes of human beings. It is said that there is an everlasting belt of water called River Vaitrani. This is a one river every soul has to cross before going to the Yamalok for his karmas and their punishment or reward. Vaitrani is a river, name of the river. At the end,
the devotees also?
Well, those who are entitled to go to Yamraj, those who have a Kanthi Mala and Urdh Pundra Tilak and chanting Hare Krishna, Yamaduta will never ever come. This is for animalistic people. So River Vaitrani at the entrance of plutonic planet of Yamraj, who punishes sinner in different manners. After being subjected to such suffering, a sinner is awarded a particular species of life according to his deeds in the past. Such living entities are punished by Yamraj, are seen in different varieties of conditions in life. Some of them are in heaven, and some of them are in hell. Some of them are Brahmins and some of them are misers, kirpan. But no one is happy in the material world. And all of them are either class A, B or C prisoners suffering because of their own deeds. The Lord is impartial to all circumstances of suffering of the living entities. But to one who takes shelter at his Lord's feet, Lord gives proper protection and he takes such a living entity back home, back to Godhead. So our quota for today is over. Tomorrow we'll go from verse number 8 to 15. Right, Shama? Shyam Sundar? Right? Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Swami. Hare Krishna, can I ask one question?
Yes, now what is the discussion? Come on.
Puji, here... talking about the three type of realization, Brahma, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So, first, as per the previous sloka, they are discussing for the meditation about the Paramatma, and further, those who are going to beyond this impersonal form, they should meditate on the form of the Virat Roop. So means here for the Brahmavadi, they meditate on the light. So they are encouraging them to go beyond this, go towards the Virat Roop or something else.
Well, here what Srila Prabhupada is speaking of Virat Roop meditation and meditation on the Brahma Jyoti are both are lower than meditation on the Super Soul. But they are not the same actually. They are not same, but one is meditation on super soul is higher than meditation on the Brahma, and meditation of the Virat Purusha may be higher than the meditation of Brahma. So it's like, but both are put in one category by Srila Prabhupada, because they both are lower than the Paramatma, that's it. But among the two, Virat is better than the Brahma.
As per the yoga ladder, the destination of the Brahmavadi is also the Brahma Jyoti, and the yogi also, the destination is the Brahma Jyoti.
Yes.
Then, what is the destination of this yogi who meditated on the Virat form?
Ultimately, if they are not coming to the personal devotion, they all will go to the Brahma Jyoti.
All three.
Yeah. Because this is all, because the Paramatma has no abode in the spiritual world. The Virat has no representation in the spiritual world. So they will go up to Brahma Jyoti.
Thank you so much, Vijay.
Hare Krishna.
So, okay. Prabhuji, so basically they only have sat realizations. They don't have full knowledge. And what about Ananda?
They have only the realization of sat part to some extent, but not chit. And chit is those who are meditating on Paramatma, they can have a chit realization also, sat chit both. But Ananda is only available in Bhagavan realization.
But the realization of Sat also is not complete, because realization of Virat Purusha in material nature is not the spiritual standard realization, is it?
Well, they are considering this is the form of the Lord in this material world, which is visible to us. So
yes.
Ultimately they are thinking of the Lord in the form of material universe.
Vishvato Bhavato Mukha.
The Vishvato Bhavato Mukha, this is the Vishwarup meditation.
Yeah.
Which is better than the two. Which is better than the demigod worship and better than the impersonalist.
That means that they know there is a supreme, but they don't know who it is. So they allocate it to pantheism.
Brahmavadis, then they know that there is supreme, but they are attached to the Brahma Jyoti. But they are not offended to the incarnation, and they never say
yes.
It is material.
Yes.
So they know, but they have attachment. It's like that Hanuman knows there is a Krishna, but he is attached to the Ramachandra.
Yes, that's clear.
Thank
you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. We know the highest is Madhurya, but some are at a dasya, so what can we do? It's our nature. Whatever is there, maybe Sakha, somebody has Sakha, he cannot go to Madhurya. Because his limit is that he has that mellow. So everybody has some fixed mellow which has to be revived. But all good, it's not. Vaikunth is the highest one, but for the Raganoga Bhakti, Vaikunth is not important. We want to go to the Golok Vrindavan, but Vaikunth is. Say, Narad is the Vaidhi Sadhan Bhakti Acharya, he is going to the Vaikuntha. So it's not that it's ordinary. So Brahma Jyoti is not ordinary also.
Yes, of course.
They all are like among the, say, out of the millions, they are hundreds. So those who are going for the Brahma Jyoti are the hundred out of million. So they are not bad.
Yes.
But they are not good as compared to those 10 who are going to the Vaikuntha. They are better than 100. But better than 10 going to the Vaikuntha is the one going to the Goloka.
So in effect, we can say that if someone has no understanding of rasa, mellows, then the best they go to is Brahman.
No, if there is no rasa, means no Bhagavan concept. The rasa is with Bhagavan only.
Right.
You cannot have a rasa with Paramatma.
Paramatma
is a witness. Witness is a Upadrishta, Anumanta, Bharata, Bhokta, Maheshwara. He cannot reciprocate. He cannot have a relation and rasa.
Yes.
So rasa is only with Bhagavan.
So therefore, without any concept of rasa, the only destination is Brahman.
Yes.
Yogi.
Well, those are small rasas, whoever, they can go to the Vaikunth. Yeah, they all. Therefore, the neophyte devotee is higher than the karmi yogi and karmi jnani and yogi.
Right.
The neophyte devotee is higher than karmi, yogi, jnani and yogi in a hierarchy.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, one more thing. From the Brahma Jyoti to the Vaikuntha, there is a promotion process also. They can be promoted further.
Usually, the demons killed by Krishna go to the Brahma Jyoti and the impersonalists go to the Brahma Jyoti. This is Sayujya Mukti, which is suicide for the devotees. They have to come back and get association of devotees and then go beyond the Brahma Jyoti. It's not that from there they can be promoted.
But after the Santarasa, somebody is having Dasya, they can be promoted as a Sakya or
Sarlev. I think the Rasas are fixed. It's not that they can, it is said they can come down or go up also. There is a, if there is a Ras Abhas, is a Rati Abhas, then the Ras can come down. Vatsalya can come to the servitude. There are some explanation like that. But Santaras example is four Kumaras. They are not ordinary. But they cannot enter Vaikuntha. They are only going up till seven gate. So Santaras is not entering there either.
But then, Prabhuji, what is the relationship of a blade of grass or a stone, which is Chinmaya Sakti? Is it also Shantarasa in the spiritual world?
Well, all these things, cows, and they are all in Shantaras. The paraphernalia used by Krishna, they are all in Shantaras.
Shantaras, okay.
Yes. Mahaprabhu has not accepted Shantaras among the... He accepted only four. Mahaprabhu accepted Dasya and three more, not Shantara.
Not Shantara,
Because there's no affection. Shanta has no affection. No sneha. No sneha. They are attached to God, detached from the world, but there is no attachment or affection for Lord. So they are in Shanta. Okay, Prabhu's next class waiting.
Thank you.
Okay, Prabhu. Hare Krishna, thank you very much.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
I think there's only one.